This Mother's Day, my dad shares a story of a woman who devoted her life to the Lord and set a shining example for all. Today, we pray for every woman, that the Lord surrounds you with comfort, strengthens you with His peace, and reminds you of His deep love for you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. I want to give you a special welcome today because it's Mother's Day, and we're just praying God's blessings on mothers all over the world. I think of my mother. She's been with Jesus now since 1990, and so it's been quite a while, but oh my, I owe so much to my mother, and you mothers are important, and we just hope we can just do something that just bless and help you today. But before that, let me give you some of the letters. We get so many nice letters. I just want to share a couple of them with you, maybe three if I got time. First of all, there's a letter here from Woodbridge, Virginia. I was born in Lima, Peru, living in the United States since 1984. I want to express my gratitude for you and your ministry. During the month of March 2018, I learned the meaning of the blood of the Lamb. Your explanation about the shed blood sacrifice in the Old Testament finally made sense to me. You do a great job. Your sermons are easy to understand. And that we were just talking about how that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and how that without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sins. And so that's the precious blood of Christ that washed away our sins. But it doesn't do a bit of good unless you accept Christ. You have to accept the pardon. So that's a thank you for that letter. Now here's a letter from Rapid City, South Dakota. Good old South Dakota. My, it's a wonderful state. And we're out in the west part there. And she writes, I'd really be grateful if you would explain the Trinity, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. They are all one as I currently understand. It's hard for me to comprehend. I don't know which name I should use when I pray, so I say Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Well, this is interesting because she said she would like me to explain the Trinity, and the Trinity is God. And so it's impossible to explain it. We take it by faith. Just because God teaches it in the Bible and shows it to us plainly as day, and I'm going to give you those verses in just a minute, but we have a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the three are one. Now, an illustration of that is a formula for water. The formula for water is H2O, and so you can have a vapor, and it's H2O. You can have a liquid, water to drink, it's H2O. You can have a solid, ice cubes, it's H2O. So H2O can be like a vapor or a liquid or a solid, but it's all the same thing. And that's the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're three different persons, but they are one. And you'd go by faith. That's all you do. You don't, figure it out. It's just like a worm. I'm walking down the street and a worm says, I want to understand how you operate. You know, it's impossible. And so we can't take all that in. But God will show us someday when we meet Him. And then she says she doesn't know exactly how to pray. And here's the formula for prayer. John chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus says, Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Ask the Father in Jesus' name. That's why we always say, in Jesus' name. In closing, always say, in Jesus' name. And so you just do that, and then you don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You just trust the Lord and ask in His name. Let me give you one more I want to share, and this is from Lamberton, Minnesota. And then it's The Heart of a Shepherd. Now, The Heart of a Shepherd is a DVD. It's a film, and it's 50 minutes long. And it's about people coming to know Jesus. And this person writes, I first saw it. It was loaned to me by relatives. A few weeks later, on a snowy day and no school, I pretty much made two of my daughters, age 13 and 10, watch the one-hour version. The 10-year-old was not happy about it. It wasn't Supergirl after all. However, once it started, she was fine. When it was over, she said, "Well, that was an hour. It felt like 15 minutes. What a wonderful day." And so that's exactly what we can do with this film, Heart of a Shepherd. It will tell people how to come to Jesus. A 10-year-old boy, it's a story of my life. And when I was 10 years old, I accepted Jesus. And I've been with the Lord now 88 years, almost 89 years. And I remember that time when I asked Jesus, it was plain as it was last night. And I have that wonderful Jesus living in my life. And I know that I failed him a lot of times, but he's never failed me. And so you will like it. Ask for the shepherd, the heart of a shepherd. And I'll give you the address at the close of the service so you get your pencil and paper ready. And we also have a little Bible study. And this month it's the eyes of the Lord. His eyes are Lord's on us when we're sad and when we don't know which way to turn, when we have some doubts. He always watches us and helps us. Oh, it's great. So get your pencil and paper. But let's look at this message. And it's for women. And it's entitled, A Woman Whom Jesus Praised. And it's a wonderful story. It's about this woman, and we don't know if she was a mother or not. But it's given to us in Mark chapter 12. He's preaching, and he's preaching and teaching. And then he comes and he goes to he takes his people and he goes to the temple and he sees this woman. Now, we don't know her name. Yeah, we know she was a widow, but we don't know her husband's name or profession. We know she was poor, desperately poor, poorer than any of us today. Because if you have one penny, you have more money than she had. Because she had two mites with to make a farthing, and that was just a little bit under a penny in Palestine where she lived. We know that she lived in Jerusalem. We don't know where. Don't know where she lived. Maybe she lived with a son somewhere. We just don't know. We don't know anything about her stature. I always think of her as a little woman, just kind of humped up a little bit from all that hard work. Maybe when we get to heaven, she'll be 6 foot tall, and won't that be something? But we just don't know. But in a way, this woman preached a sermon to the whole world. The whole world, if you can imagine it. And I'll tell you how she did it. She gave it because God, she's wanted to talk about the Lord. She lived for the Lord. And God took her and put her in the Bible. The story of her in the Bible. And that's gone all the way around the world. And you know something? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God, the Bible, will never pass away. She's in the Bible, and people of every language and tongue and nation and island of the sea have read about this woman, this dear little woman, totally dedicated to God. And so God has a lot of people like that. They're unknown in the world. They're unseen. They're unappreciated. But they have giants in God's sight. And says, so look at this. I think too of the mothers. I think of the single mothers and how hard that must be. We ought to pray specially for them, that God will give them grace and strength and help them along because his eye is on them. The eyes of the Lord are upon all you single mothers and all of you mothers that maybe you're mourning for your children. They come to Jesus. And I have illustrations, and I've not had it happen in my life where this mother prayed for her son and prayed and prayed and prayed, and he never turned to Jesus, and the mother died. But after mother was gone, the boy began to wonder, he's a man now, and he came and he says, I want to answer my mother's prayers. As that poor mother had to die not seeing it, but I know she knew it in heaven because it says that the angels rejoice. And as every person comes to Jesus, every person repents, there's rejoicing in the presence of God in heaven. And she saw that boy come. Took a long time. And maybe today you'll be one of those boys and your girls. You got off into sin, you know, off on the wrong track. Your mother prayed for you. Maybe she died praying for you. And you stayed on your way, but God is talking to you. And you say, oh, mother, I'm going to answer your prayer right now. I'm going to come to Jesus. I don't know how to come to Jesus. How do I do that? I'll tell you how you do that. You just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll serve you the best I can. That is, I'll turn from my evil ways, and I'll live for you the best I can." You'll never be perfect, but you strive for perfection. And when you sin, you just have to use 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And you say, "How many times would he do that?" "Oh, maybe a million times." You know what the Bible says? It says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And another place it says, "Grace is greater than all of our sins." You know something? Grace is found only in the Christian faith. No other religion in the world has grace. And grace means unmerited favor. That means that we don't deserve it, but God did it for us. It's the grace of God that took him to the cross. And he died on the cross to pay for our sins. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so this is Jesus now. He comes to the temple. And it tells in Mark, chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you want to follow along. All of our scriptures out of Mark chapter 12, or most of it. And then Mark verse 41, it says, "Jesus sat opposite the treasury, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury." He said, in other words, he came to see how they cast money into the treasury. Not what they gave, but how they gave. That is, it's not the amount of money that counts. It's the motive for giving that counts. And as he watches, a poor widow woman comes along and she casts in 2 mites. And there came a certain widow and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. That's it isn't much money, because in Palestine it was less than a penny. So she, poor thing, she didn't have any money. But she has a fraction of a penny. But what she had, she gave to the dear Lord Jesus and gave it to the king and gave it to the temple. And though the gift was meager, it represented all that she had. Verse 44, all the money she owned in her to herself, in her little old purse, all she had was those 2 little pieces. And she took not one, but both. And she cast them into the treasury and gave them to the Lord. This little woman, she's so beautiful. And Jesus says something then, and it's kind of startling. And he says, as he sees this little woman casting in her 2 coins, verses 43 and 44, he called unto him his disciples. He saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they who have cast into the treasury." For they, Jesus is saying, she put in more money than all of the rest. And here's some of the rich come in, and they're not putting in these little mites. They're putting in gold, solid gold coins. And they're giving lots of money. And she's giving less than a penny. And Jesus says she's given more than all of the rest put together. How can that be? Verse 44, "For all," Jesus said, "for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Jesus didn't say that her gift matched the gifts of the rich, casting in not copper but pure gold. Jesus said she cast in more than they all did put together. And how can that be? Well, because Jesus never measured monetary value by what they gave. He measured the gift by what it cost the giver. What it cost the giver. Don't miss that. It's not the amount of money. It is the spirit and the cost to the individual. So this poor woman becomes a challenge to all of us, an example, an index on how Jesus measures our giving, a guideline for the day. He measures on what does it cost us to give. I could give a penny and never miss it. She could give her penny and she wouldn't eat till the next day. all her living. God bless her. She's teaching us something. This little woman, so long ago, it was a gift because she loved God. She believed in God. She believed the Messiah was going to come through the Jewish people, through that faith, that he would give it through Israel, as the prophets of old testified, that she believed she would worship in the temple. She should worship in the temple. She should support the temple. She should do that because of the work of God. But let me look at something here. She took her offering to the temple. It was the only place for her to give it. And she gave it because God said to give it. But listen to this, what was happening. The priesthood of the temple are going to crucify Jesus. And yet she gives faithfully because that's the only place she can give. Well, now we have 1,000 places we can give. And I'm going to tell you, you ought to be careful how you use God's money and how you spend it. No question about it. We have many places, and some of them are very good in places, but you can't give to all of them. You can't marry everybody. You have to pick one or pick what God lays on your heart. And so if your church is faithful to God's word, you ought to faithful to give to your church, not just your gifts, but your prayers and your service and your goodwill, and quit picking at the preacher. Give him a break. And you put your, but if your church isn't true to God, you better pray about it. You better pray about it, because God is a place. And somebody told me, well, you ought to give your money where you get your food, if you pay your food, or in the restaurant where you eat. So wherever you get food, wherever you get help, but pray about it. And notice this, that this gift that she gave was a sacrifice. She becomes our example. And so Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. We may feel, I am sure many of us feel, as though we have so little to offer the Lord Jesus. But if we put it at his disposal, mighty things will happen, and God will be blessed and help us. God taught us to give a tithe, and I know it is hard, but there's where my mother comes in. I was raised in the Depression years. And if you didn't live them, you young people didn't live in it, you have no idea. And if I tell you how tough it was, you wouldn't believe me anyway. But we were so poor that our only source of income for some time would be in the cream that we could sell. We used to milk cows, and we'd separate the milk from the cream from the milk. And then we'd go to town every Saturday. And we had a container. We'd take it to a creamery, to a place, and he would check that cream and the weight of it and what the fat and whatever it is. And then he would give us a check right there on the spot for that amount of money, for that amount of cream. And I see my mother take that check, and she would write down, first of all, 10% to God, 10% to God. And then she'd take the rest of it, and we went to the Red Owl store, a grocery store, and she bought the things that we really needed, the flour and the salt and the sugar and whatever she gonna get. Nothing fancy, believe me. And then we went back home for another week. That's the way we lived. But my mother taught me, you give a tithe to the Lord. And I started out with a penny and a dime, and I've all my life, I've given that tithe, and I'm so happy, and now you can give over a tithe. And so that's what this little woman is teaching us. She's telling us the important thing of life is God. You see, Jesus is over there watching the tithe. He's watching as they give into the temple. And the reason he's watching is because it's going to show how the people felt of God, how they felt of him. I'll tell you what it is. You can measure how much we love the Lord by how much we give to the Lord. You give me your checkbook, and I'll tell you what the things you love and the things you don't love. I'll tell you the things that are important. I'll tell you where your heart is. And where your heart is, you see, your heart is going to follow that treasure. And so you follow that along. So this little woman shows us a great and beautiful picture here to give this thing to the Lord. Someone has written of her, I do not think this woman ever knew that Jesus was watching that day. She went back to her bare apartment and did not eat that day. She had given all she had. I do not think she ever knew all the days of her life until one day, quietly and beautifully, Jesus came to her and took her home. And there on the other side, I think she saw how Jesus had taken that blood-stained copper, kissed it and put it into pure gold, and used it all over the world for 2,000 years. Isn't that beautiful Lord? And so this wonderful Jesus, he's made that way possible for us, and he made it by going to the cross and giving himself. That's how much Jesus gave. When you think about Jesus, you think about him going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And just now and then, in a few hours, he's going to be on the way to the cross, going to meet Pilate. He's going to be abused and mistreated and everything else and crucified. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. And God says that he would sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And why is he doing that? Is it because he's afraid of the cross? Oh, no, not at all. My friends, we have people in the persecuted church. They're going to the cross every day in one way or another. They're giving their life for the Lord. And they're not sweating blood. They're just giving their life to Jesus. And it wasn't Jesus was afraid. As a matter of fact, we're told in the book of Hebrews that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy of going to the cross, that's what it was. But he was taking our sins into his holy, sinless, perfect, pure body. All of the sins of all the past, present, and future. And he's taking those sins and he's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. That's how he gave and how he paid. And so we do, because he did that, say, oh, Jesus, you're first in my life. I'm going to serve you and follow you no matter what it costs. And I think of the persecuted church. We pray for them every service. We're going to pray in closing today. And we're praying. We're so thankful they can be part of our congregation, because 95% of the population of the world is reached by shortwave radio. And so we know we're reaching many of them on shortwave radio, and we're and encouraging them, and we're telling them, oh, just stand true. And your encouragement to us, we don't suffer in America here worth 2 cents when they're giving their life. But that's what Jesus did. He gave his life. And now we have those giving their life and giving their homes and giving their children and all of the comforts of life. And they're giving it for Jesus' sake. That's what this little woman did, gave all that she had. And so today we're thinking about mothers and we're praying for them, that God will just bless and encourage them. Don't become weary in well-doing. Never give up. Just touch Jesus and give him yourself the best you can. And when you fail, just go to him in prayer and ask him to forgive you. And he'll forgive you every time. I don't care if it's 1,000 times. His grace is sufficient. He'll forgive you. And someday you'll be in heaven and we'll be changed and we won't have that old habit. We'll be with the Lord, Lord forever. But you have to have Jesus in your life. You can't know about him. The devil knows all about Jesus. He knows more about Jesus than we do. But you have to have him in your heart. And the only way to do it is to ask him in. He says in Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hears that voice and opens that door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him and he with me. So God will come into your life, but you have to ask him in. You could do that right now. And then you can walk with him and he'll give you strength and help that you didn't have. And if you accepted Jesus, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature to help you. And you read the Gospel of John to get started. But the main thing is, ask him into your heart. And then he'll give you strength. And I'm not saying you're going to get rich and you're going to get well and all the rest. Look at how Jesus didn't have a home to lay his head on, no place to live. And yet he lived for us and served us. And he was in God's will, even though he was in poverty. So you may not get rich, but you'll have peace and you'll have joy and you'll have an eternal home. and you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you'd like to have our little Bible study, and this month is our little Bible study, the eyes of the Lord, so he's watching you and helping you and loving you. And I know you're going to like it. It's going to bless you. Or if you want to have that film, The Heart of a Shepherd, you write to us and send on a free will offering basis. But if you don't have any money, we'll send it free and postpaid. Somebody else will help us. We'll get it done. And then you need to help us. We have to have your help day by day and hour by hour. And because we have not, we're not a part of an organization or anything else. We're just leaning on God's people. And you need to pray and ask him what you should do. And don't be afraid to send you the Lord's money, because we'll take care of it. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check our books at every way and turn of the road, and it's all above board. You can't go wrong. Now let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for all your people everywhere. And I thank you especially for the Christians in Algeria. Oh God, some of them are suffering terribly. Just bless them and encourage them and help them to know their encouragement to us. Be with those on beds of sickness. Be with the young people with all of their decisions, and the precious children. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you now for being together. I want to thank you for those standing by. A lot of those people we've now for over 40 years, we've just been depending on God's people to pray and to support us and to help us. Many of them are with the Lord, and their all work is all done. But God raises up new people all the time, and you could be part of those people. And then you can help us to win people to the Lord. That's all we got on our mind. Bring people to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And before we close, let me say this. God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Christian Worship Hour loves you. Every worker on the team loves you, prays for you, and I love you. And I want to see you in heaven. And I wish I could just say it in a better way. But yeah, I've said it so you can understand it. A child can understand what I'm telling you. And you have to make the move. I do it for you, but I can't. Make that prayer. Become a child of God. And we'll see you in heaven. And won't that be something when we sing with a heavenly chorus to the praises of God?
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.